Hi everyone. Welcome to the first ever Now Bali podcast. Eddie Spears here, editor of Now Bali. We bring this podcast to you at a time of uncertainty. COVID-19, or the coronavirus, continues to spread around the island, having both direct effects on people's lives and well-being, and indirect effects as well on people's way of life. Whilst Bali is not in an official lockdown at the time of recording, the beaches, streets, and businesses are quiet as people remain home to protect themselves and others. So we thought this was the perfect time to launch this podcast. Whilst you're at home, whether in Bali or not, with more spare time than usual on your hands, there's an opportunity to learn a little bit more about Bali, its culture, and its people. We do this with the hope that this brings a renewed or deeper interest in Bali, appreciating the richness of what is known as a living culture. Through this podcast, and I'm sure it will develop as we continue, we'll be reading out stories from our cultural archives for you to enjoy and learn from. With myself and other members of the team, we'll be sharing some of the magic and mystery of the island. We hope you enjoy. Before we begin, just a very quick thank you to Genesis Creative Center, a multidisciplinary creative hub in Brawa. We are recording this podcast in their highly professional music studio sponsored by Pioneer DJ Indonesia. So thank you very much, Genesis, for this opportunity. On with the show. This first story was written back in December 2018 for Now Bali magazine. Written by one of our cherished contributors, Dr. Jean Couteau. With a doctorate in art history and iconographic art of Bali, he's one of the most well-versed writers in Balinese culture. He's written many books, including Lempad, published in 2014, Time, Rites and Festivals in Bali, published in 2013, and Myth, Magic and Mystery in Bali, a colorful collection of Jean's articles published in Now Bali over the years. He's also a columnist for Indonesia's national newspaper, Kompas, writing in formal Indonesian to the amazement of his many avid readers. This first reading tells the story of Joro Gede Machaling, the Honorable Fanged One, said to be the bringer of death and disease in old animist beliefs in Bali. We thought the story would be appropriate given the current situation, because no doubt the believers of the old ways would surely say that Joro Gede Machaling is responsible for the spread of the coronavirus around the island. These hot and humid days are the most difficult times in Bali. But make no mistake, it's not because of the rainy season. It's because the guardians of hell are cleaning their cauldron. Yes, they do a little housekeeping at this time of the year. Suratma, who judges all at the gates of hell, and Jogor Manik, the head torturer, they've just expelled these souls for a month so that they can clean their cauldron uninterrupted by screams of pain. Do you know which souls I'm talking about? Those poor residents of hell whose genitals are in flames and whose brains have been pierced by daggers falling from trees. Whatever their sufferings may be, on the sixth month of the Balinese calendar, or Sasika Nam, these evil souls are freed for a month from the cauldrons of hell. All of these Butakala and other nasty demons from the invisible world rampage over the land. Some even take a visible form. You know, the worms you see on the beach, they are one of the signs that malevolence is around. You better not eat them. The most horrific menace of the whole month is a fanged monster with the appealing name of the Honorable Fanged One, or Joro Gede Machaling. Don't tell me he doesn't exist. Ask the Balinese, especially those who live along the southern coast of Bali facing Nusa Penida and Nusa Lembongan. They all know him. Some have seen him with their own eyes, while others have felt the bite of his fangs. He always comes ashore around sunrise, noon, or dusk. He takes advantage of the cosmic change underway to land surreptitiously. Don't let anyone fall under his sway, especially children. Actually, if things are properly handled, and if the land is otherwise in a normal, spiritually healthy condition, he will not have any victims. If you like to walk on those island-facing beaches, you probably have seen the small altars, sometimes made of bamboo, sometimes made of sandstone, that stand just outside temples. They are Jirogade's altars. It is where the locals feed him, most notably on dead moon days, Tilam, and on Bali's biweekly sacred day for cleansing, Kajung Kliwon. Once he has had his fill of offerings, he usually leaves unnoticed, satisfied. He goes back to where he belongs, to Nusa Penida, beyond the strait to the south. Yet, sometimes, the offerings are not sufficient to satisfy his appetite, especially if something is amiss in the world of Bali. If so, the Honorable Fanged One is not so honorable anymore. He becomes terrifying and will claim his dues. When he runs amok, believe me, his thirst for blood is unquenchable. Some believers say that the last occurrence of his wrath was in 2002. People in Bali were indeed misbehaving very badly then, especially some tourists in Kuta, reveling in drugs and sex. They did not pay attention to Jirogade and the dangers of his fangs. He made those tourists regret it dearly. Yes, it's true. There are those who believe that it was the wrath of Jirogade Machaling who caused the horrific events of the first Bali bombing, taking over the minds of Muslim youth, filling them with his darkness. They were simply his pawns, they say. When Jirogade does not get what is owed to him to sustain the beneficial balance of the world, there is no way a few beach altars will stop him. Oh, he gets mad. He's very morose, people say, so he starts his promenade, or melancharan, during which he invites all those he comes across to meet their death, thus adding each time to his anchangan, or army of the dead. The Balinese know too well the dangers incurred by the wrath of the Fanged One. During hundreds of years, it was the grubug, the sudden disease epidemics or veils of death that would spread over the land and wipe out half the population in a matter of months. Usually it was diarrhea. Once you knew you had it, it was too late. Whatever medicinal concoctions the traditional healers would prepare for you, you would just liquefy to death in a matter of hours. Yet people want to believe there are ways to avoid falling prey to Jirogade. If you put three colored strings around your wrist, the Tridatu, you may be protected by the trinity of gods they symbolize, Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. Yet the best ways to hold a big purification or exorcism ceremony on the dead moon, Tilam, or on a cleansing Kajung Kliwon day of the sixth month of the Balinese calendar. This ceremony preserves villagers from the worst. Yet, in some villages, they call the village protector, the Barong, to the rescue instead. He makes his own melancharan around, this time in a visible form, to purify and not to kill. There is little the Fanged One can do against his archenemy, the Barong. When the two face off, Jirogade usually ends up stealthily fleeing back to Nusa Penida. By then, grubug, diarrhea, and other disasters have disappeared. However, things are always more complicated than they seem in Bali. With proper offerings, the right attention, and a good and learned healer, you can also get Jirogade on your side. Oh, but it is dangerous. You may get powers you are unable to control, dark powers. If you really want a good teacher to take you through the intricacies of the Fanged One's magical powers, ask one of the shabby hobos you may see in the village, known as Gumbo, recognizable from their clumped and stuck hair. It is their job to deal with the monster, but beware, please. Frankly, considering all that's been said, I don't understand why tourists all want to find accommodations by the sea. Today, some of the altars to Jirogade look neglected, with no offerings anymore on their platforms. Does it mean that the danger is gone? That the fanged monster has returned for good to Nusa Penida, his island of birth? Or, on the contrary, does it mean that the besmirching of Bali has waited for too long, that the fanged monster is hiding somewhere, ready to spread death and fear? There are ominous signs everywhere. What is wrong in Bali? Too many disrespectful people? Must we wait for him to show his ugly fangs once again? The story of Jero Gede Machaling is a Balinese indigenous myth, which has little to do with Hinduism as reformists define it today. But he lies deep in the psyche of the Balinese and is emblematic of their fear of the outside world and the social and medical diseases the world is carrying. There is a sign that this tradition is being integrated into the framework of modern Balinese Hinduism. Many people today will tell you that the most dangerous Jero Gede Machaling is not the one who roams across the land, bringing death and destruction, but the one every one of us carries in his or her own self. Well, that's all for our first episode. Apologies if that was a dark start to this podcast, but the story, like many myths and folk stories in Bali, is highly metaphorical. Does this mythical demon not remind us to be good? Does it not threaten impending doom if we do not align our values, our own karmas? Yes, every story has a moral in Bali. We hope you enjoyed listening to that short but dramatic episode. We'll be back with more cultural stories soon. Feel free to subscribe to our podcast by going to nowbali.co.id/subscribe or follow us on Facebook, url/nowbali, or on Instagram @nowbalimag, all one word. Thank you once again to Genesis Creative Center, who you can find at inspire@genesis.com. Thank you and see you at the next episode.